Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday of Easter. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. John and read and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
I'm Mary Cottingham, Managing Editor of the South Texas Catholic. In order to be good stewards of our resources, the South Texas Catholic will not be mass printing the May, June, and July issues of the magazine. But please enjoy the May issue in its entirety, beginning May 1st, by visiting our website, southtexascatholic.com, and click on e-edition. In the May issue, we focus on how the coronavirus has temporarily affected our lives in the way we serve, learn, teach, pray, and celebrate the Eucharist. Also featured are ways to honor our Blessed Mother as May is dedicated to her. And Bishop Mulvey shares a spiritual message of hope and faith, challenging the faithful to be Eucharist for others. In addition, May is National Military Appreciation Month. We highlight two of our military chaplains who are currently ministering to those who serve our country. The South Texas Catholic is a vital and important means of communication to all people in the 12-county area of the diocese. And we hope that you can share the good news with your loved ones who do not have access to the internet. A limited number of copies will be available and can be requested via email at stc@diocesecc.org while supplies last. To keep up to date with all the news of the diocese, visit southtexascatholic.com.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop. It's nice to see you, and we're maintaining our social distancing this morning.
We are. Yes, it's becoming a way of life.
Yes. It'll be our new normal, I think.
It took me 3 weeks to stop trying to shake hands anyway. The others were more attentive than I was, but it's a change of ways of life, change of life.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But.
Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is from the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, of course, back in the daily life of ancient Israel, shepherding was such a part of their lives that this image applied both to God and to Israel's leaders. You know, the sheep know their shepherd's voice.
Right. Yes. Well, of course, Jesus is the incarnation. Through his incarnation, he becomes the presence of God in our midst. So everything that pertains to Jesus is really part of this shepherding. And what do I mean by that? I mean everything that Jesus has said to us, every encounter that Jesus had, the entire gospel found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is part of that being the gate. We sometimes, I think, when we're talking about going over the fence and around the easy way and trying to, in other words, sometimes I think in many parts of our life and in our faith life as well, we look for the least resistance or the minimal that we have to do, or everything that we do becomes kind of a mandatory requirement, but we lose the spirit of it. I think what Jesus is saying here is pointing to the spirit of being a disciple, of one who follows, because the sheep that follow the shepherd have a relationship with him, and they know his voice, they hear his voice, they are able to follow kind of blindly in some ways, but it's because it's a relationship. And you know, I think, Barbara, throughout this time when we've been isolated and the pandemic is still in our midst, I read something this morning, is have we taken time to even think? In other words, reflect. What's life about? What is our relationship with Jesus about? What's the purpose of our work, for example? What's the meaning of family life? What's the meaning of relationships? There's so many things in our life that have just become a sort of pro forma. We do them because we do them. We get up in the morning and we just turn on the motor and we go. And that's day after day, week after week. And we don't need a shepherd if that's the way our life is run, because we kind of shepherd ourselves just by the habits, the habitual lifestyle that we often live. We're always looking for whatever it is, looking for fun, looking for the next vacation. But we don't become very reflective. We've kind of stopped, I think, in many ways being reflective people. We try to solve problems instead of saying, what's the root of the problem? Even in our own life, in our own personal life, we can avoid, and that's this image that Jesus gives of going around or going over and not coming in by the gate. To come in by the gate of life is to come in through Jesus, because he's the only one that can really explain to us in his word, and he's the only one that can accompany us in the challenges of life. And so this time that we've been kind of prevented from different things, either work, and unfortunately some of us have lost our jobs, and that is very tragic right now. We've not been able to go to church, to mass, not been able to gather. So there's so many things that we've lost, but we should never lose these things without taking the time to think why or what's the message. God doesn't impose things on us, but he certainly takes advantages of the situations that we find ourselves in. So I think this gospel this Sunday of Jesus as the gate for the sheep to enter and to go about and to find freedom says something to us that, what I guess the main point I'm trying to make this morning is in reflecting, who is Jesus in my life? Is he just part of the everyday occurrences, or the every once a Sunday, once a week occurrence, or is he really the meaning, the real foundation of my life? Is he the joy of my life? So I think this is just one thing today we could reflect on with this gospel from St. John.
During this time, Bishop, I get the sense that people feel like they're becoming closer to God. Yeah. You know, they're tuning in, at least I know for myself personally, I've been tuning in to morning mass, you know, which was something that I hadn't done before. But I see in my neighborhood families out and neighbors taking care of neighbors and doing things. And you're right, God didn't cause this, but God is helping us to appreciate things that we didn't appreciate before.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think what I'm saying is we don't in the norm, but I think these last 6 weeks have pushed us in that direction. So I'm happy to hear, and I've heard that from several people, that they have had a chance to stop and think because they have time. Time is a wonderful gift if it doesn't just become routine. But time is such a precious gift. And to be able to use it to do those kind of things that we don't normally do not do. And, you know, one of the capital sins is sloth, just kind of wasting time, right, not using time right. So there's so many things that we could look at positively in our life. Once I think it's kind of one of those things, once you get beyond the complaining and the griping that we all did at the beginning, why this, why that, And then you stop, and not to say, well, this is really nice. There were times it was nice not to have to rush. Right. But at the same time, to take advantage of what's been given to us in this time of kind of a hiatus from our normal lifestyle. And I would just say for us not to return to the old lifestyle, if we can say that. And each one of us has to define what that is. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to be rushing all the time. We don't have to be running around trying to entertain ourselves. But to take, you know, smell the roses, as they say, or smell the flowers, to enjoy the sun, enjoy the stars, the beauty of creation, and so many things that are we probably don't take time to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there have been reports out, and when they look across the entire world, and you've probably seen these, that because there are no cars on the road, that the pollution has gone down and the skies are clear. And, you know, people are seeing things that they've never been able to see before because of all the pollution.
Right. You know, I lived in Rome during the 70s and when there was the oil embargo and crises and all this stuff. And so oil was gasoline was very expensive. And so what they did in Italy is no one could drive a car on Sundays except doctors and emergency responders, vehicles. And, you know, just to walk through the street daily and cars running and running, you have to get your life killed if you step into the road. But mm-hmm. to walk down the middle of the streets, you know, in these busy streets, it just kind of gives a different perspective mm-hmm. on the meaning of life. And I'll never forget that. That was a whole year that on Sundays was really the free day. And it like you said, it was clear air. Mm-hmm. People were out pushing their children in the buggies and people talking. It was just wonderful. We didn't have the pandemic, of course, right. but it was just wonderful to get out.
Right, right.
So
I think we'll see a lot more of this, I think. People will realize instead of driving everywhere, we'll just
I know for myself, you know, I've received calls, I've made calls that you just normally don't do. And mm-hmm. I think, again, it's taking advantage of that, the beauty of time, the beauty of relationships, that, of course, is a price to pay for all that, the pandemic. And again, I want to say to those that are listening, those who have lost their jobs or have had been furloughed or the salaries cut, it's a painful time. So there is pain in this. And we all need to be aware of that and be conscious of each other's situations, but also to look for the good that can come out of this, and maybe families coming together more and so many other things. So everyone, I don't need to think for you, but I think everybody can realize what's happening in their personal life.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of charitable good work
Absolutely.
Being done. People getting out of their own zone and realizing that these are my neighbors and the world too. You know, so many organizations helping to raise money to feed people and to help people that are
right.
in need.
Yeah, everybody's kind of does things, and then at this point we go a little further. And I think that's the beauty of it. I don't think any of our listeners would say I don't do anything in the normal daily life charitably, because we all do. But I think at this time we're seeing that we're going a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it, and the joy of seeing that in our community.
Mm-hmm. And actively.
Yeah. I noticed, you know, just other things, just like in the grocery store, people greeting you as you come in, somebody greeting you as you go out. I have found in the grocery store the few times that I've gone, just the camaraderie, really, just even under the mask. And because of the way I'm dressed, people recognize me, and I have to say, I'm sorry, I hear your voice, but I don't know who you are under your mask. So some of them will pull their mask down just to let me see who they are. Mm-hmm. So, but it's created a good rapport with people.
Well, it has, and I noticed that even with the mask, people are respectful. They're looking at people in the eye. Instead of, you know, together trying to pick out what kind of broccoli, you stand aside and you wait. And then when the person leaves, you smile and nod. I mean,
I love the announcement in HEB that says you don't shake hands, but you could smile to one another. Of course, everybody's got a mask on. So I met somebody the other day and I said, I know you can't tell, but I am smiling at you.
I know. I think we're realizing that that good is going to come out of all of this, because Jesus is leading the way.
Right.
God's leading. Well, thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
In light of the continued threat of the COVID-19 virus and Phase 1 of Governor Abbott's Open Texas plan, the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, has posted a letter stating public celebrations of the Mass in the Diocese of Corpus Christi will resume effective the weekend of May 9th and 10th. This will give pastors the time to meet the safety guidelines set by the state and local officials so that a safe environment is maintained. Bishop Mulvey asks that all people come together as a community for the good of everyone. For the complete letter from Bishop Mulvey, please visit the diocesecc.org website and click on COVID-19 updates, and then click on Letter from Bishop Mulvey, dated April 29th. As further updates are received, we'll keep you informed here at 89.5 KLUX HD1. Always good company.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in May, and we have our Focolare Word of Life, and the title that comes at the very top just says, "Let love purify you," and it's a wonderful line from John.
Yes, it's a kind of part of the last discourse of Jesus, and it's taken from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 3, actually, John 15, 3. "You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you." After the Last Supper with the apostles, Jesus left the upper room and walked towards the Mount of Olives. 11 disciples were with him. Judas Iscariot had already left and was soon to betray Jesus. It was a solemn and dramatic moment. During the supper, Jesus had given a long farewell speech. He wanted to say important things to his closest followers and delivered words that were not to be forgotten. His apostles were Jews who knew the scriptures, and Jesus reminded them of the very familiar image of the vine. In the sacred text, this represents the Jewish people who were the object of God's care. God, in fact, is an attentive and expert vine grower. Now it is Jesus who speaks of himself as the vine, who transmits the lifeblood of the Father's love to his disciples. They must therefore focus above all on remaining united to him. "You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you." One way to remain united to Jesus is to welcome his word. It allows God to enter into our hearts and make them pure. That is, cleansed of selfishness, fit to produce an abundance of quality fruit. The Father loves us and knows better than we do what allows us to feel unburdened and free, free from the useless weight of all the unnecessary things to which we are attached, negative judgments, the anxious search to have everything work out to our advantage, and the illusion of keeping everything and everyone under control. In our hearts, there are also positive aspirations and ventures. But these too could take the place of God himself and make us lose the generous momentum of evangelical life. That is why he sometimes intervenes in our life through circumstances and painful experiences, behind which there is always a watchful love. The fullness of joy is the fruit that the gospel promises to those who allow themselves to be pruned and renewed by God's love. This is a special joy that blossoms even in the midst of tears and overflows from the heart, flooding the surrounding soil. It is like a small preview of resurrection. "You already have been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you." Living the word makes us step outside ourselves and meet our brothers and sisters with love, beginning with those nearest to us, in our families, cities, and every area of life. It enables us to create friendships that form a network of positive relationships, aiming at the fulfillment of the commandment of mutual love, which builds fraternity. Meditating on this phrase from John's Gospel, Focolare foundress Kara Lubick wrote in a commentary of May 1982, quote, "How can we live so that we too can deserve Jesus' praise? We can put every word of God into practice and be nourished by it moment by moment, thus making our existence a work of continuous re-evangelization. Doing this, we will have the same thoughts and feelings as Jesus. We will relive him in the world and show the divine purity and transparency that the gospel gives to a society that is often caught up in evil and sin. During this month, then, if possible, that is, if other people share our intentions, let us try in a particular way to put into practice the word which expresses the commandment of mutual love. For John the Evangelist, there is a link between the word of Christ and the new commandment. According to him, it is in mutual love that we live the word with its many effects, purification, holiness, innocence, fruitfulness, and closeness to God. If we live in isolation from one another, we cannot resist the pressures of the world for long. While in mutual love, we find an environment capable of protecting an authentic Christian life."
You know, Bishop, as you were reading this, there were so many parts in here that made me think about what our world is going through right now. And one of them is that said, it said that to remain united in Jesus, this allows God to enter into our hearts and make them pure, cleansed of selfishness, fit to produce an abundance of quality fruit. And you and I were talking about that in the first half of the show. I mean, people are becoming less selfish,
right,
if they were in the beginning.
Well, let me just go back to how all this began when we call it the Focolare Word of Life. Mm-hmm. It comes from a group of young women in 1943, just after the war, or during the war, the midst of the Second World War, who simply their life was to take the gospel in hand and live it. So word by word, sentence by sentence. So that's how this began, just taking one sentence, which we're presenting to ourselves to try to do the same. But it became like food. So in other words, the beginning of the day, those few girls, they were women, girls, actually, they were ranged from 18 to 23 years old in 1940s. So you can imagine how strange that was, especially in very, very Catholic Italy. But they went to work. They went home. They went into the streets to help the poor in the midst of the war. But they came back not with frowns on their face or anger or judgment, but they came back with smiles on their face because the word of God became a light. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if, just for example, taking this sentence, you have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. So the word could be love your neighbor. And so you begin the day and go to work, and you know, when you're trying your best, you know, there will always be mistakes. You say things or you have a certain attitude or a judgment which is not loving your neighbor, but you realize that because you're trying.
Becoming self-aware.
Becoming very self-aware, but not only of yourself, but aware that Jesus' word is active and alive in you. It burns out those judgments. And over time, little by little, a re-evangelization takes part. A new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of speaking, of talking, etc. And so you don't walk around in gloom and doom or judgment and anger and judgment, all these kind of things, but you begin to wake up to something new. I have to admit my own experience. A couple of weeks ago, during the midst of all this, I took a chance to go to one of the pharmacies here in town to pick up some things instead of going to the grocery store. And there were some people in there, and it's one of those, in the midst of all this, you see some people with certain behaviors, and I immediately got kind of, you know, my feathers ruffled, you know, and you kind of like a little bit of judgment. And then it's kind of the word came to me in the sense that, look at them the way I look at them, not the way you look at them. And I went, oh my gosh. And just that idea of God's word, you know, trying again, I've been doing this for 40 something years, trying this method of just doing a sentence a month. But I realized that I was judging them, and that I was there not just as a pastor or a bishop, but as a Christian, not to judge. We're told not to judge. And so I began to say, well, maybe they're a little happier than I am right now. Maybe too happy, you know, just but everybody's kind of on edge. But it's just a different way of living life. And doing that in the light of the gospel, in the light of God's word, being in contact with God's word, not memorizing verses, not memorizing, you know, not as a memory exercise, but as a life exercise. And so I think just this month, again, we're cleansed. We're cleansed of our the list that's put here. We're purified of our judgments, of our anger, whatever it is that's in our life, just being in touch with Jesus, because Jesus is his word. It's not that as you and I speak words, somebody quotes us and we quote Jesus, but that is his presence. It's his word, is his presence speaking to us today. It's a different presence from the Eucharist. We'd say it's the real presence in the Eucharist, but it's his presence. The church has always taught this. The saints have always said that God's word is a presence. And so as you walk in the grocery store and you hear, do not judge, it's him saying to you, do not. He's right there accompanying us. He's not far away because his word is close. And that's what burns these things out of our hearts, our negative judgments, or our anxieties, our anxiousness and looking for things to do and the disillusionment that we may have. But it's all there in his word as he walked with us and left us his word. It's a presence. And I think that especially in these times when we have such a great opportunity to reconnect, you know, with each other, but reconnect with God and with his word, it can bring us a new life and a new joy.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, lead us to a share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.